Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Zeke. I'm here with Bettina and Jen, and we are Movement Museum. It's 2:05, almost 2:06. You're listening to us on CKUT 90.3 FM, or on your computer or mobile device, which is movement-museum.blogspot.com. Find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and we have now two versions of the same poem for you. This is called Spanish Dancer by Rainer Maria Rilke. As in the hand, a sulfur match burns white before it flames and giddily unfurls its quivering tongues. So, circling in the sight of crowding watchers, hurried hot and bright, her rounded dance quivers in widening swirls, and suddenly it is sheer flame aflare. Tossing a glance, the girl kindles her hair and with more daring art whirls her attire, wholly at once into the furious fire, from which her bare arms, each a startled snake, stretch sinuously, rattling as they wake. And then, as if the fire were strangling stuff, she gathers it together, flings it off imperiously with a prouder mien. Her eyes watch, there upon the ground raging it lies and keeps on flaming and will not give place. Yet certain of her triumph, with a sweet welcome now in her smile, she lifts her face and stamps it out with a little resolute feet.
The translation's not bad.
Okay. I wish I could say thank you, but I didn't do a darn thing other than read it off the page. I have no idea who translated it.
Yeah, well, they did a decent job. It's not easy to translate poetry specifically. So you want to hear the German version?
Yes, I want to hear the German version.
Okay. So in German, it goes like this. Wie in der Hand ein Schwefelzündholz weiß, ehe es zur Flamme kommt, nach allen Seiten zuckende Zungen streckt, beginnt im Kreis naher Beschauer hastig, hell und heiß, ihr runder Tanz, sich zuckend auszubreiten. Und plötzlich ist der Flamme ganz und gar. Mit einem Blick entzündet sie ihr Haar und dreht auf einmal mit gewagter Kunst ihr ganzes Kleid in diese Feuerbrunst, aus welcher sich wie Schlangen die erschrecken, die nackten Arme wach und klappernd strecken. Und dann, als wurde ihr das Feuer knapp, nimmt sie es ganz zusammen und wirft es ab, mit herrisch, mit hochmutigem Gebade, und schaut, da liegt es rasend auf der Erde und flammt noch immer und ergibt sich nicht. Doch sieghaft, sicher und mit einem süßen, grüßenden Lächeln hebt sie ihr Gesicht und stampft es aus mit kleinen, festen Füßen.
I like it better in German.
So do I. I actually have the Vietnamese translation as well. Do we have another minute?
Yes, go.
Just kidding.
And also, there's background noise in the background because we were working with the door open in the studio because we're expecting German Jarguai, which I'm probably badly mispronouncing his last name and maybe even his first name because there's some accents there. But we are waiting patiently, and with the door open, we can be inviting, warm and welcoming, as opposed to with the door closed and the sign saying on air, which then is rather imposing and makes it difficult for people to enter in and talk. So we apologize in advance for the background noise, which also reminded me that I got to get some background music for us.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Jen, I was going to do that, and you can do that. And so
no, we love the background noise. It's cool.
It's different than the usual background
stuff. Well, also somebody in the corridor is trying to really quietly unchain a bike. That's not going to work. Just go for it.
No, there. So yeah, we can all. Okay, first of all, there it's Jen saw. What is it? Sun Ra, the Hymn to the Universe.
Yeah, I saw that as well. I saw a lot of shows that I haven't reviewed.
And there it's. We discussed a Hymn to the Universe last week, and both Bettina and I just thought it was absolutely wonderful and amazing and superlative. And so apparently you have a dissenting
opinion. Yeah, we totally have different tastes in dance. I didn't enjoy it that much. I got really bored, I found.
Why?
Well, it's good to have a minority report.
Why did I find it? I felt like a lot of the dancing was very flailing around, like, and I guess to me that wasn't as appealing. Yeah, to me it was just not as appealing.
Hi, hey, I'm Bettina.
We have our guest.
Our guest
come,
is here.
Come sit down. Have a seat. And if you can close the door as well behind you, we don't have to deal with the background noise now. Okay. We have a full house. We have a complete show. So yes, Jen, continue on what you...
Continue. Yeah. Yes. I think the main problem for me with the show was there was just a lot of flailing, and I felt like a lot of things that were happening continuously, but it didn't change very much in the content or in the actual dynamic of the movement. Like specifically what the one part, do you guys remember with the yellow stick, there was like a woman in the middle and there's two men on the side
With a fan.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's
yeah.
Right,
the image was really beautiful after the first couple minutes, and then it just kept going and going, and I felt like it was the same thing throughout, except they were just moving in space, and so I wasn't able to keep engaged with it the whole time, and I felt like a lot of things happened that way where it just was very drawn out, and for my attention span I just kind of drifted off, and so I just kept drifting off throughout the show.
Although that drifting off, it's the sort of thing where trance, getting into a trance so as to listen to the Sun Ra music, to me is not such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I what you're saying is you didn't feel fully engaged with the choreography.
No. I guess watching it as a dancer, a choreographer, that's mainly what I was picking up on. Though I was speaking with you, Zeke, and you were giving me a bit of a background on the Sun Ra Orchestra. Yes. And their approach to the creation of their music and the performance of it. And that related, made sense for you in the dancing. And so I feel like I was missing that as well.
Okay, next time we have to get you the press release and the history and the background.
I didn't get the press release or the background.
We'll make sure that you're on the list for the memo.
Okay.
So that's a joke.
Okay, then.
Okay. No, I'm sorry, because it was, to me, one of the more enjoyable pieces that I've seen recently. Mm-hmm. And at which point, yeah, always hearing that somebody doesn't like you, say, and it feels like I'm somehow responsible, which mm-hmm. I realize I'm not, but...
No, but it's interesting that you have a different take on it, because you're seeing it more critically from the point of view of a choreographer. So you're looking more at the form and the technique, rather than I felt I was just sitting back and just sort of enjoying the ride.
Mm-hmm. I also took a friend with me, and he felt the same way, that the choreography kind of went on, and it didn't seem to have... to keep us engaged for long enough to go and follow with them. So yeah, and I mean, there were definitely things that I really enjoyed, like the spectacle of so many people on stage, and the band was, I really enjoyed the band, and so I guess for me it was more so the movement and the dance. And I think it was probably also because I come in with a different expectation. I mean, I know that there were a couple of dancers there who work with big companies. I think one of the women performers was a Mari Shwanar dancer. And so I come to the show with a specific expectation of a type of movement or like some grandeur type of choreography. And so I think that also serves to, you know, create that kind of fail in expectation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, but I'm still sorry you didn't like it.
That's okay. I mean, we've watched so many dance shows, and there's ones that you like and there's one that you don't. So okay. It's all good. But
now we have German Jargwei. Is that, am I pronouncing your name right?
No.
Apologies, first of all, if you can.
But it's okay. It's no problem.
headphones, and if you speak as close to the mic as possible. The microphone moves to you. You don't have to move to it.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So, yes, first of all, welcome. Thank you very much for coming. And how do you pronounce your name?
Hermann Jauregui.
Hermann
Jauregui. Yes.
Hermann.
I'm going to let them do it, and I will just call you sir.
Okay.
Yeah, you're doing master classes at Cirque Est this week, and is it next week as well?
No, only this week, yes.
Yeah, how did you get involved with Cirque Est?
Well, I wrote with Francine since already a couple of years. We write each other, trying to find dates, but it was never possible. And then this last June, I was here invited by Transformation Dance to make an stage of 1 week. And then the stage took place in the Cirque Est studios. And that's why I could personally spoke with Francine, meet her personally, finally. And then we spoke, and then I had this week free, and then it was very simple
bada
and very
boom,
easy.
Bada bang,
yes.
And everything.
Yes.
And your classes, in terms of my understanding from reading stuff, is that you're doing it. Yeah, it's based on your choreography and your sense of movement.
Well, I'm doing two things. First, I'm doing my class of technique, 1.5 hours, and then it's another 1.5 hours, which is we call it like workshop or yes. So it's more I'm doing more a partnering work. So it's also it's another technique. So it's two classes, two different classes, in fact. And what I do, I teach what I studied or what I worked, what I learned. I danced many years in a company, Ultima Vez. And then all this knowledge that I got through the work is what I try to explain or to share with the people. So yeah, it's kind of a technique, and the partnering work is also another technique. So it's I would say it is two technique classes.
Mm. So actually, can I ask an obvious question? Where are you from?
I'm from Spain.
Oh, right.
Yes.
And you have a dance company there?
No, I am, I'm from Spain, but I live in Brussels, in Belgium. So I'm based there. And I'm doing my own work, and it's not that I have a company, I have a project, and I also make choreographies for other companies or institutions, depends. And when I do my own work, I try to rehearse where it's possible. I try to go out of Brussels, to go more to the south, more to the sun, more to places where I feel the conditions are better to make a creation. So.
Yeah, and then you end up in Montreal. Not a lot of sun.
He's not making a creation here. He's just teaching.
No,
that's a good point.
Bringing the sunshine with him.
Hi, I'm Jen. I was really excited to meet you today because I know you also danced for Ultima Vez for 10 years.
10 years, yes.
Yeah, and I really love Ultima Vez. It's like amazing. And just like when I was reading the class that you were teaching, I'm like, oh my God, I want to take that. Just the partner work, the physicality, the you know, the groundwork, floor work, and stuff like that. So I want to ask you, what was it like to work with Ultima Vez for 10 years?
It's very intense experience. It's 10 years that you you have to put on the side many things from your life. Mm-hmm. You cannot, or you do it 100%, or you don't do. So you do creations and touring, and creations and touring, sometimes at the same time. It's very intense, you don't stop. So you have to make a lot of compromises, let's say concessions. You put things on the side, and after you will come back to them. Mm-hmm. So it's a decision that you take. Mm-hmm. So it's a very good place to learn, to mm-hmm. grow up also. So
I just wanted to know, is Wim, was he trained in dance as well? Because I know he had other backgrounds.
Wim, he's never studied dance or theater or nothing, in fact.
So my question, sorry.
He studied psychology, in fact.
Oh, okay.
But he has he's very curious, no? And he has curious, no? He's curious.
Curious.
Yeah, curious.
Yes, sorry. Curious.
We understand.
And then he got, when he was 20 years, got to do took some theater workshops in the university.
Mm-hmm.
And through these workshops, suddenly he liked it, and then he joined an audition for Jean Fabre.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then he was taken, and then they make a piece which toured during 2 years all over the world, and then he decided when he was 24 years, okay, I'm going to make my own company.
Mm-hmm.
But he never studied dance or theater, or he was a lot making pictures and filming, always from the beginning. But he never studied this neither. So everything he learned by working, not by receiving classes. So by working.
So I guess the burning question I have is, because he didn't have the training in dance and in theater, how did he work to push his dancers so much in his work? Because his dances are always so physical and visceral. How did he approach that with you guys? As a dancer?
Because he has a very concrete way to understand theater.
Mm-hmm.
And dance, as he has also a way, very concrete way to understand life, or his life. So it's very connect. When you see the work and you see him, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's true. Is to work with him is very hard in the fact that he pushes you a lot, but he is very exigent with you. But he's very exigent with himself. So he pushes you a lot, but before he is pushing himself 3 times more. So he's not laying on the chair saying, do this, do this, do this. No, you see him much busier than you, in fact. So then, you don't have, I don't have, and I never had any problem. I like that somebody squeeze you until the last drop somehow, okay? Because makes you learn, makes you grow mm-hmm. up. It makes you learn a lot from yourself also. Working in the company, so because all the decisions, all the movements, all the images, all the ideas that you see in the scene, they are from all of us. They are shared. It's not he is the one who takes the decisions at the end, of course, but the material comes from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
From everybody, we share ideas, and sometimes I do a text that comes from somebody else. Somebody else doing movements that they come from myself, and I don't do them, or I have one idea, one image that is doing it by other people. So all is mixed and shared. At the end, you don't know really from who did this movement, from who comes this text, from who comes this idea, because we all share the material. So,
mm-hmm.
so in this way, you grow as a group a lot, also.
How does your choreography and what you're training, the sort of techniques you're training, based on what you learned at Ultima Vez, or is it in reaction to, or how did, yeah, or is it
yes.
the same as?
Yes. In fact, I stopped with the company 2 years ago because I wanted to do my own work. This was the main reason. There were also other reasons, but the main reason was to start my own work. And then, of course, you have a big influence after 10 years just doing this. It's a big influence of the company in me, but it's also a big influence on all of the dancers in the company. So it's an influence which is, you know, you
back,
receive
back
this
forth.
Influence, but you also give this
yes.
influence also. So this is important to know. And then what I try is to, I don't try to, how you say, to...
En français?
No, to avoid this influence. No, I assume it, I accept it. It's part of me already. Like you see all painters or artists, they all have influences from other artists. So is not any problem. I don't try to go against this. I accept it, but I try to develop my own universe somehow and my own way of understanding dance or theater. I try to do the things in the way I think I have to do them, or I think today in the world we are living should be done the things. Okay, and then my tools, the instruments I use in my tools, there is a big influence on what I. These 10 years I did with the company, but it's also an influence in the books I read, in the films I read, in the people I know, in the company. It has during 10 years a very important part in my life. So it's normal. This reflects in the way I work now. But it's clear my direction is I understand theater or movement in a different way that he does, even if I have an influence. So, but I know it's not always easy to. Sometimes some decisions you doubt, you say, I should do this, but it's so much like the company, so I do the opposite. And sometimes you have this conflict. It's true.
How would you describe your choreography?
I don't know. I cannot make a description of on a choreography. Also, I could not describe the choreographies of Wim neither. Because I think the nice thing of dance is that words are very limited. The words, they never reach to, with the meaning of the words, they don't reach to express all what dance is expressing, at least me from an audience. I see a show is touching me, and with my words, I cannot define this feeling. It's always very small. So, and when it doesn't happen, then is that maybe I didn't like so much the show.
Then to try and get it around a different way, in terms of just, I would imagine that yes, you're the movements that you do in your choreography are based on you, but then in terms of with you, the way that you teach them and so on, is there a certain style of movement? Is there a certain way of moving? Yeah. Is there a certain?
Okay, yes. I teach some principles. Some techniques, some principles, principles, okay? And to teach them, I use phrases of movements that I invent or that I took from the shows of the company or that I transform, okay? But they are excuses. They are somehow anecdotical because it's not important the phrase itself. It's the principles, they are inside these phrases of movements, which are important. To understand a way of movement, to understand certain qualities, to understand to move without using force, without using, without spreading out the energy, sans gaspiller l'énergie, without, to be more precise. So to work all these concepts that they are not easy to work and you don't learn them just like this. So it's not something that you can copy. No, so we use phrases of movements to try to experiment that the people experiment this by themselves. So this is a bit my way of teaching. So
okay, are the principles? Yeah, is it possible to speak the principles or write the principles down?
Yeah. For me, something very very important is is one of the bases of my classes is like how you can move without using the less. As energy or the less as physical force as possible, okay? How you can move using more the movement itself without pushing extra energy, okay? It's difficult to explain in words, but you can move and you can do certain phrase and you can finish this phrase very tired or finish this phrase without any... any tiredness somehow, so your breath is not affected, and is you do just the same movements, but it's the way you do these movements. You learn how to use the energy to put in every movement the energy you need only, not more than we need, and we very easy give everything in every movement. And at the end you are dead, of course. And many times when you see the shows of Ultima Vez, then you see, like you were saying, wow, this physicality, this, but there's a big technique behind that. And it can look very wild, very physical, but when you are dancing this, you are very cold and you work very technical. only then you can reach this physicality, this wildness, this thing, okay? Like the emotion, it has to appear in the audience, not on the scene somehow. So we need, the more you control, the more you are called, the more you know what to do, eh? The more you control the information you are giving out. And the base of this is to know yourself, to know your body, and to know how much I need to do this, or how much I need to do that, how many effort I'm using. So it's about knowing yourself a lot, knowing your body, knowing your possibilities, and but this is a whole process. This is, it takes time, but little by little, people, they discover first themselves and then their possibilities, and then they use just what they need, okay? Because the rest they need, because the show is maybe 2 hours show. So you cannot give everything the first 10 minutes and then what?
Yeah, ends up sitting around saying,
Yes.
Now, what I find fascinating in terms of is your use of descriptions like cold and precise, which are very much sort of, cold and precise things. But at the beginning you said that you want to create in warm climates, in warm places, in sunny places, and that sort of split there of how the movements you have are very northern, but then the way you, what you create and where you create is very southern.
Well, when I say cold and precise, I mean it's a way to deal with the with your way of moving. So it's nothing to do with the weather.
I understand, but it's also there's the cliche of sort of the Bettina, the German in the house, being very precise, on time, and sort of there's that cliche.
Oh yeah,
that
I'm always on time. We all know that. Yeah.
And in Germany, the trains always run on time. And you go down to South America or Italy, and everything's tomorrow. We can deal with it later. And while yes, the words themselves are for the dance, it's still two separate ways of viewing things that I just find fascinating. That and so to then ask more about Sunset on Mars, which is the piece you've created and so on back in 2009.
Yes.
Does that? Yeah. How did I take it? Now see if I can get my way into that sort of southern idea for Sunset on Mars. Where did you create it? How did it come about?
Well, as I told you, it was a long time I wanted to do my own work, and then suddenly I felt it was the time after we make a show with the company. It was called Spiegel, which was a kind of taking back different scenes from the last 20 years of the company. After making this show, for me it was like, I don't want to do a new creation with the company. I have to do now my own work. Of course, this is not that you decide like this. It took me already almost 2 years before the moment you take the decision, you say to win, you have to finish the tour, and then suddenly you start with your own project, no? And then I think when you create a piece, there is different steps. The first step is inconscient step. You don't know you are busy with it, but you are already busy with it. It's somehow growing inside you, but even you are not conscious of it. And suddenly took appears, and you say, I have an idea, but it's not now that you have it. It's something which is growing and growing and growing. There's one point where these things come to the conscience, okay? And then you are busy, okay? You are in another step, okay? And then suddenly I was thinking in making a piece, and of course, all our questions. Why I make a piece, and why not? And why yes, and with who? And it's a duo, a trio with 20 persons. So there are many questions that you have to resolve. And little by little, I was not resolving these questions. They were resolving by themselves somehow. Suddenly I felt it has to be a duo. And only after I realized, because what I wanted to speak about, the duo, just two persons, it was the more easy or more clear or precise way to speak. It would be better than with 15 dancers, for example. Okay, so little by little, all these questions they were being resolved somehow. Of course, but you are busy, you are thinking, and you are making all this research and all this work. And then, it was clear it was a duo. I have to do a duo, And then another thing very important was to decide where I rehearse and how many days and how I share the time, how organize the time. It looks stupid, but it's very, very important. It affects a lot in the creation and where you rehearse. I wanted to rehearse, as I told you, in the south, in the places where they were not in the city, were a bit outside the city, in the forest. So I found places where we were. Lena is the dancer who was also in the company some years, dancing with me. She's from Russia. We were alone, she and me, completely isolated, creating the piece, because we wanted to speak about this. So I say, okay, we want to speak about a kind of specific relation between two persons. So we have to leave this also ourselves. So then we went out of the cities and we rehearsed 6 weeks. Then we stopped 1 month, and then we rehearsed again 6 weeks, and then we had the premiere. So all these decisions, they are important in the creation process. For me. So it's my way of understanding this.
Yeah, I love the way you describe the creative process, where something simmers in the back of your mind for a long time.
Yes, yeah, I believe it's like this. So I believe you think you control the things, but somehow things are inside you, are growing inside you, and only after they come out. Okay.
That's a very emotional way of describing the birth of a project. Whereas your dancing that you talked about was very technique oriented. And cold. So where do you find, how would you describe your dance? Is it more emotional or is it more technical?
For me, dance is, it's just an instrument. I'm not interested in dance somehow, or in theater. I'm really not so much interested in the history of dance or in the different techniques of dance or in the, not at all. Somehow yes, because it's part of my profession. Or in theater, the same thing. What I'm more interested is first, which is the place that dance takes now in this world you are living now, and which is the place dance should have, or the scenic arts they should have. And another thing is dance for me should be a way that an instrument that allows me to send a kind of message, to say, okay, believe things should be done in this way, or I think humanity should go in this way, or I think we have a problem and this. So somehow the dance or theater, the scenic arts, they have to help the artist to send this message. So I don't like, or I don't believe in this kind of works, dance or theater, who speak about dance, speak about theater, or speak about technique, or speak. I'm not interested in it. So, it's works that they are for dancers. So, and for me, it's an exercise of egocentrism a lot. So I'm not interested in this, and I don't go to see these shows. So for me, it has to be a very clear relation between your work and the world we live. If this relation is not there, because your work has to be a response of it. I mean, look around, what we are living, the time we are living, is very important moment, I find. Capitalism is crashing down. And there is not any other solution, not a solution, but there's not any other alternative. So I cannot make a piece about the how the lines of the arm or how the maybe yes, but this should be there to speak about something. No, it should read to read. So it's my way of understanding theater. So it has to be dance, theater in function of something. It's just a fil conducteur, only this.
Right, so it's communication for you. It's a form of communication.
Yes. So. So when I make a choreography, I'm constantly putting myself in the place of the audience. Constantly. From the first thing I think, these decisions I take, constantly I'm directing and I'm observing at the same time. So it's for me it's basic. So. Very important. And of course, for me, it's not about sending only information, intellectual information, sino I mean, I want through the work that people have an intellectual response, but emotional response at the same time. Because otherwise, you write a book, okay?
Yeah,
or you give a conference,
engage.
No? Yeah. I believe the world should be like that. Ta-ra-ra-ra, or you go in politics, or you, I don't know. We are speaking about theater also. So it's important that the people, the audience, has an emotional response in the things they see. Eh? And for that, they should have an identification with what they see on the scene, I find. Mm. And like I said before, the emotion for me has to appear in the audience, not on the scene. Sometimes the emotion, you work with the emotion on the scene, and okay, and it goes, it crosses, it breaks this four wall and it arrives to the audience, but sometimes not. You, in the scene, you make a big soup of emotions and they stay there, no? Yeah. And sometimes not. So sometimes you can see things very precise, very mathematical, and you are full of and it arrives full of emotions because there are no rules. So I think everybody has to take very seriously this responsibility, I think, because I think the artists now, the choreographers, dancers, people who make theater, we have a very big, very privileged position, because what we said, people come to listen, okay? But this is also a big responsibility, so you cannot say whatever, no, because people come to see, come to listen. So take this responsibility, and if you have nothing to say, don't say anything, no? It's a bit this. But, so, you go step backwards, then you say, first of all, you have to, I believe, you have to analyze this world, understand this world, and see what I am, what we are doing here now. So, and then this should be the criteria of all the decisions you take, even which costume you might take, no? At the end, you have to go back to the beginning of everything. So, yeah. And even the more simple decisions, they are not al azar, no. Mm-hmm. You take red because the skirt red because ta-da-da. So you need a good base behind you who supports you all these decisions you take.
We have to take a slight break because we have some bills to pay. We'll be back momentarily after this in our discussion with, I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name.
Herman.
Thank you all for saving me. We'll be back momentarily.
Hymn to the Universe, this fascinating show come happening by Coleman Lemieux and Company, features an ultra-psychedelic dance performance, a totally unique celebration with 7 internationally acclaimed dancers and 15 musicians from the legendary Sun Ra Orchestra in a fantastical cabaret, December 1st to 11th at the 5e Salle. Special price for age 30 and under, a presentation of Place des Arts in collaboration with La Cidrerie du Minot. Information and reservations, 5emsalle.com.
Do you wanna dance?
Movement Museum, opinions and primary voices. In a world increasingly reduced to a who markets louder philosophy that is by definition going to steamroll contemporary dance right out of existence, Movement Museum is an hour-long talk show where all you will hear is honest and compelling opinions. Opinions on why dance matters.
Opinions on why dance.
Opinions on what dance matters.
Opinions on what dance.
We talk to dancers, choreographers, teachers, composers, academics, audience members, producers, presenters, and anyone else with an opinion on dance. What moves them? What do they like? And most importantly, why? Live Thursdays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, archived for all of eternity, Friday mornings at movement-museum.blogspot.com.
We have returned on the other side of the announcements. It's 2:43 or thereabouts on your radio dial. We are Movement Museum, which is 90.3 FM on your radio dial, 91.7 on your cable dial, movement-museum.blogspot on your mobile device. Yeah, do those mobile devices have dials?
Dials, no.
Yeah, okay. And, in the background, we got Kelly Jefferson Quartet doing Next Exit. And, roughly at about this time, we have This Week in Dance History. Who you got for us this week, Bettina?
This week I found somebody fun. It's Hermes Pan, or Hermes.
He's utterly amazing.
Yeah, his real name, and I had to practice this for a while, Panagiotopoulos, but Pan for short. He was born on December 10th, 1910, and passed away September 19th, 1990.
Yeah, tomorrow's his 100th birthday, the centenary.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
He was an American dancer and choreographer, principally celebrated as Fred Astaire's choreographic collaborator on the famous 1930s movie musical starring Astaire and Ginger Rogers. He met Astaire, whom he physically resembled, on the set of Flying Down to Rio in 1933, the Astaire-Pan collaboration involving 17 out of Astaire's 31 musical films and 3 of his 4 television specials, is widely accepted as one of the most important forces in dance choreography of the 20th century film and television musicals. Astaire called Pan his ideas man, and while he generally choreographed on his own, he sometimes worked with other choreographers as well. He greatly valued the assistant of Pan not only as a source and critic of ideas, but also as a rehearsal partner for the purposes of fine-tuning a routine. When not working with Astaire, Pan was much in demand as a choreographer throughout the golden age of the Hollywood musical, most notably in Lovely to Look At from 1952 and Kiss Me, Kate from 1953. He won an Emmy Award for the 1958 television special An Evening with Fred Astaire and was recognized with the National Film Award in 1980 and by the Joffrey Ballet in 1986. On a side note, Hermes Pan was also a close friend of the Mexican artist Diego Rivera, who painted his full portrait.
Very cool.
Yeah, huh. I'd like a full portrait.
I heard he was also a close friend of the Shah of Iran.
Yes, that's right. He was invited over there for like a big shindig. So some interesting friends. He passed away on September 19, 1990, aged 79, from undisclosed causes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes, we're back with
Herman.
Jen, you're going to save my butt every single time. Thank you tons. in terms of, given that you were going around the world giving this technique on how to conserve energy and only put out what is absolutely necessary, do you find that there's any difference between dancers here in Montreal versus dancers elsewhere, or that everybody's pretty much the same?
No, they are. I feel difference. Yes, I feel is. I think it's normal. The people, the culture in which culture they grow up is has a big influence in the way they receive the information and the way they understand movement, dance, theater. So it is. I was this year a lot in Mexico working. I make 2 choreographies for Mexican people, Mexican dancers, twice this year. And then yes, it's a difference. There's a difference, especially in the way how people communicate with themselves, the way how they work in a lot of levels. Also, there's a big difference in the I feel some difference in the information they have. Like in Europe, because in Europe, theater and dance very soon in the 70s with Pina Bausch, they get together somehow. While in America, didn't happen. It came, but more maybe from the influence from Europe. I don't know. But it's true. There is very normal to have shows of dance with texts, or just sometimes it's just theater pieces, and they call them dance. Or which I find here is more one thing and then the other thing. And so I feel this a lot sometimes. Also in the partnering work, I feel a big difference. I think here people have less information than, for example, in Europe, because it's true in Europe, because of the companies they work there, it's kind of technique, or it's a kind of way of moving that is maybe more developed, or people have more opportunity to get this information than, for example, here. And I feel teaching these things here, I feel people has less knowledge than outside. I mean, than for example in Europe. So it's a difference. It's true that nowadays people travel a lot. So there are dancers here. I'm teaching here that they were in Europe a lot and they do workshops there. So the more and more this information is one of the good things of the globalization. the information is now is the more and more is more traveling. No? Okay, people travel a lot. People go here, go there, workshops here, The fact that teachers from Europe come here or teachers from here come there, so suddenly it gets more shared all this information. So, but yeah, it's true. There are little differences from teaching here or there or making a piece with that Mexican dancers or making a piece with Spanish dancers or with people from China. So,
yeah, I really agree with you. I find that the movement aesthetic and approach between America and Europe is very different. And yeah, like now there is a lot more influence that you can see in some of the work that's being created here, but I can see how there's like a really big difference. And even just growing up or being a dancer that trained in here in Canada, people have a very different idea about dance technique. You know, like I hear people saying, oh, I don't have enough dance technique. And often here, dance technique is sometimes referred to as, you know, classical technique, you know, technical pirouettes and battements and things like that being technical. But I find that in Europe, the approach to dance technique is a lot different, like, you know, what you're teaching with partner work and floor work and things like that.
Yes, I think it's about words, no? So technique here means maybe classical. There, I think in Europe, technique is also improvisation. It's a technique. Mm-hmm. Partnering works is a technique. Contemporary dance is a technique. So when you go here, the only information of the workshop you have here is technique workshop. You probably not going to go. You are going to find probably just like you were saying, classical technique. Okay, but it's also technique. What means technique? So technique, mm-hmm. I think, is a package, it's a combination, is a of principles, okay, of things to of tools, okay, to educate the body, okay, mm-hmm. And I think in Europe, yes, it's true because the companies develop these works, so they have a big influence, and then technique can be improvisation. It's a technique like classic. And nowadays, contemporary technique is like classic technique. So these are ways of going to the floor, ways of going out of the floor, ways of rolling on the floor, ways of doing that or doing this, ways of doing partner work. So because people are making this work and repeating it, this thing which maybe before it was quite new, it was not classified. The more and more. So yes, so it's a technique which is like classic somehow. So yeah, maybe the word technique there is more huge.
Broad.
Yeah, it's bigger. Mm. No? It involved, yeah. Maybe more things than here. I don't know because I'm here now, but I play here several times in Montreal or in the States or this, but I never work here like. Mm-hmm. Like
trained here.
Yeah. So I always lived in Europe. So, So I don't know so much neither. But yeah, but with the information I had or the information I could receive, or from people they come from America or Canada or South America to Brussels to Europe or to Europe, you see this. This thing. No, for example, today after the class, one girl told me, but the teachers of Belgium, you never count music. I say, no, it's not true. Some people count, others not. Mm-hmm. But here is like a technique class, you have to count, and one, two,
yeah,
three, four.
Totally.
But there are some class of technique, you count. There are other class of technique, like the one I give, you don't count. Mm-hmm. So, but this comment, for example, that this girl gave to me, it's a clear picture. I say, okay, I know here Technique words means is a very, very concrete way of working, mm-hmm. so of, yeah. of receiving a class or giving a class.
What do you have coming up? Besides, after the master class, do you have any performances that we should look forward to?
I would like to have shows. No, I am. It's very hard now to have performances for my piece, for example. Now I'm trying to have shows in Europe or abroad, and we will play in Spain in April.
Cool.
And we did now a little tour in Mexico. In September, and yeah, we played already in Italy, in some places in Europe. But it's a very, very slow process, and it's a very bad moment to tour now. It's very, very difficult. It's very, very hard. It's very, 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 very. It's very difficult. So to get one show, it really costs a lot. There's a lot of work. Yes. So it's not a good moment. So, but it's like this. So, I think ideal conditions there never exist. So
we now,
yeah, no, now is this, and 20 years ago it was maybe other problematics. Mm-hmm. But I think now there are some problematics which makes that there's a big distance between the artist and the audience. So, and the parameters or the festivals or the who should make this link, it sometimes making more separations. It's a bit of a critic I'm making.
It's an interesting perspective, actually.
Yes, I think now the voice is not on the artists. The voice is on the promoters, on the festivals. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who decide everything. They are the ones who set up which is the fashion, and everybody follows fashion. Everybody follows now is conceptual dance, or now is this way, or now is that way. And because they have the money, they have the possibility, they have the theaters, they have the, and I think before it was different. I think the artist has more power than now. Mm-hmm. I think because now they are much more. Now everybody they are. At least in Europe or in Brazil, is full of choreographers, directors, full. So there's big competition or big, it's very full. But anyway, I think it's a problem of not only in Europe, I think it's everywhere. I think here is the same. So the figure the promoter or the...
Curators, basically.
So it's getting more and more importance. Mm. Now I think the problem now is that people don't buy shows, they buy names.
Really?
And they buy names. Yes. They don't buy, at least in Europe. Eh? I don't know here, but there, it is completely secondary what you do. The first main important thing is who you are, what's your name. Okay, this is very, very important. And then what you do, okay, is also important, but the doors gets open before, which was your name.
Interesting.
Yes, but this is a reality. This is a reality, and that's why it's so difficult to play. Now, to put you an example, the last show of Alain Platel, they play during 11 months, each 3 days they have a show.
Wow.
Imagine, it's 100, I don't know how many. It's a lot. Mm. It's 3 days, and then the people who are there, and I like Alain Platel. It's not that I don't like. Eh? I like a lot, but the people who are there up, they get more and they get everything. And people who are they are not there, they less and less. The people who has certain status or positions, they get the more and more and more and more, and the others they get the less and less. So the distance is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And before it was not like this. It was not like this. When it's a crisis moment, now it's a crisis. It's a crisis, but not only economical. I think it's cultural, spiritual. It's a big crisis. People don't take risk. People are afraid. They don't take risk. So they do this. Tack. So they think they go for names. They go for names.
It's easier.
They play safe. Yes. Yes, it's true. And I think we are now suffering the consequences of this situation. So But this is so you have to find your way in all these problematics, and you find your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sarah, are you staying? How long are you staying in town?
I go on Saturday.
Because we're running out of time for the radio show. We have about another 2 minutes. We're going to have to figure out some way to get you back here so that we can continue the conversation.
I agree.
We have a little bit of time for a calendar of dance events this week.
Yeah, just very quickly. You're going to have a busy weekend, guys. There's lots going on, for example, Saturday, Involve 2, on the 11th of December at Studio 303. With Commissaire Sascha Kleinplatz, who I like a lot, and Andrew Tay. So you should go run. It is playing twice that day, once at 7 p.m., once at 9 p.m. Then at Tangente, there's Nancy Leduc, Une Femme Virgule, Un Homme, and that is playing this weekend, 9, 10, 11 December at 7:30. And finally, you must run, put on your shoes now, switch off the radio and run to the Leonard and Bina Allen Gallery for Out of Grace, 5 spaces, 5 weeks, 5 performers and 5 visual artists. It's excellent, and we'll talk about it next week.
Herman, sir, thank you very, very much for coming on. It was a pleasure talking to you. As I said, we're going to have to get you back. Jen, Bettina,
thank you.
Thank you very, very much for coming on. You guys make me look and sound way better than I have any right to be. We have been Movement Museum. We will talk more about dance with you next week. Positive Vibes is coming up right now.
Yes, do you want